Louise McSharry
on 2FM.
Now, let's talk news. It's time to talk to the Beyonce of Derry. It's Aletha. I called you Aletha. Aletha Grace Moore. Sorry.
I've been called worse when I lived in Australia and people couldn't pronounce my name. So that's fine.
Sorry, I've got Olivia Rodrigo on the brain. It's Aletha Grace Moore, political correspondent of the Irish Examiner. And as you know, every week she comes on to digest the news for us. Big week in COVID news, Aletha.
Big week in loads of news, but I am officially now the bearer of good news.
Woohoo!
We have the plan.
It's a long time coming.
I know. I'd say Micheál Martin must have got up the podium and was like, yes, like good news for people, like just reveling in it.
Yeah.
So we had 467 cases last night, which as we know, you know, we've been stuck around those numbers for quite a long time.
Yeah.
But the Taoiseach did say that the vaccine rollout had gone well because of the hospital cases and everything else that comes along with vaccine rollouts. They were prepared to give us the plan. The plan's actually, the dates and stuff are a bit earlier than they had previously thought, but things are going well. And from 7th of June, we're going to start to see some normality. So things like the gyms and swimming pools are going to reopen, cinemas, theatres. You can have one, if you are unvaccinated, you can have one household visit from another household indoors, which I know will be a really big thing for people.
If you're unvaccinated.
Like, unvaccinated, yeah.
So
it's
anyone,
different if you're,
anyone can have, yeah.
Yeah. And then, things like guests at weddings are going to go up to 25. So it's still very cautious, but then for the next 2 weeks until the 5th of July, the fun starts. So 5th of July is indoor hospitality, which is restaurants and bars. You can have three other households in your home. 50 people can go to a wedding. And then we will start to see the reopening of venues, which I know everyone is really excited about. So 100 people can attend an event in a larger venue.
Mm-hmm.
And then a maximum of 200 attendees in the majority of venues, and 500 for outdoor venues, things like Croker, things like that.
Mm.
And indoor exercise can go back. I'm not that worried about that.
And Aletha, is there a limit? Now, I have a question. And this will tell you a lot about me and my priorities. Is there a limit on the time you can be in a pub or restaurant?
No.
So you can go to the pub.
There is 105 minutes for restaurants,
yeah.
I believe, for indoor. When you're outdoor, there is no limit.
Okay, and what about in a pub? Is it 105 as well?
Yeah, as far as I know, there might be someone shouting at the radio now, but as far as I know, it's 105 minutes because we initially thought there wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And then it appeared that it did appear then in the Fáilte Éireann guidelines during the week. So yeah, the limit is back, but for inside.
Okay.
But bring a big coat, sit outside, you'll be fine.
Oh, no, look, I mean, 100%, I'm happy to sit outside. But for me, for some reason, I have it in my head that when I know that things are really normal again, will be when you can just walk into a pub and you can stay there for 3 hours or you can stay there for 10 minutes and, you know, you don't have to think about it. That's, for me, that's reality. Okay, still though, wonderful. Not to put a taint on it at all.
Really good. And just because you were talking about this last week, so from the 19th of July, people will be able to go on holidays. So non-essential foreign travel will be back. You'll get something called an EU digital COVID certificate. From the 19th of July, you will be able to travel within the EU. So your COVID certificate will show if you've been vaccinated against COVID-19, if you've recovered from COVID-19 in the past 9 months, or you've had a negative test no more than 72 hours before arrival.
Okay. So
and if you have this certificate, you won't have to undergo quarantine when you come back as well.
Okay, but will you have to have been vaccinated? No?
No. So you'll be vaccinated, either have a test, you're vaccinated, or you've recovered from COVID-19.
Okay, so one of the three. Okay, great. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, we do have to talk about supply problems because they are back again.
Supply problems are back. We're never really fully far away from them. So the current issues with supplies are about the intervals between vaccines now. So we know, you know, at the minute it's around 12 weeks and they're going to have to change it again. So there's different things. As we know with a vaccine rollout, there's moving parts. So they're talking about changing the AstraZeneca vaccine interval dose that's been kept under review. They've cut it in the UK from 12 weeks to 8 weeks. and they're considering doing that here as well. Mm-hmm. There's other things at play here. So there's also, they're going to start rolling out, we talked about this before, but vaccines for pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already, you know, provided and recommended, but something as low as 1 in 5 pregnant women have actually taken them in Ireland.
Mm.
And what they're going to do is they're going to do a public information campaign, because I know 2 of my friends are pregnant and they haven't taken it, but it's everyone's own personal choice, but there's not a lot of information, I think, given to people. And so all of this is kind of happening at the one time. And as we know, vaccine rollouts are subject to change. I think we're on like our 35th change now.
And I think like you need a specific type of communication for pregnant women, because at the end of the day, when you're pregnant, you're told you can't eat shellfish. You're not supposed to be drinking too much coffee. You can't, like, if you get a tooth, mm-hmm. I had emergency dentistry done when I was pregnant with Ted. And it, like, I wasn't allowed to have proper painkillers.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So it's, I can understand that for pregnant women, it could be hard to get your head around the idea that, hang on, I can't take ibuprofen, but I can take this vaccine. You know, there needs to be some special communication, I think.
Yeah, and it's easy to go and get your vaccine when all your mates have got your vaccine, but it's very rare that you're pregnant with all your mates at the same time.
Yeah.
It's usually something you're like the only one in the group.
Yeah.
So it's very much, you're kind of isolated in your decision as well.
Yeah. Even though, I mean, just to say, if anyone is listening and pregnant, all of the research suggests that it is absolutely the right thing to do for you and your baby to get vaccinated. But I can understand why people might be a little bit scared.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, let's talk about what happened in Blanchardstown this week. There was a siege in which 2 Gardaí were shot. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to ask you about more specifically, aside from the actual news story, is the fact that this happened within a media blackout. And I think a lot of people probably wouldn't understand what that means or how it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I knew about until I worked in newspapers either, but basically, media blackouts, they're pretty rare, but in times or in situations of, it tends to be if the people involved might have mental health problems, there might be a hostage situation, there might be someone who has a gun on them, things like that. The press will get an email from the Gardaí saying there is a media blackout. They'll tell us, you know, where it is. They give us a kind of idea of what is happening. And basically, it's to stop crowds forming and then further putting people at risk. Like, mm-hmm. I grew up in Derry, so there were been riots when I was younger, mm-hmm. and a lot of people at the riot wouldn't even be in the riot, they would be standing watching it.
Yeah.
And then people are more likely to get injured, and it makes life a lot more difficult for the police.
Mm-hmm.
So these media blackouts go out basically and tell the newspapers, please don't say anything about this,
mm.
because for everyone's safety, including the people involved, the Gardaí involved, and the neighbours
mm.
around the place, please don't say anything, because we don't want people showing up and drawing attention to it, because the situation is not safe.
Yeah.
So they're pretty rare, but that's what happened in Blanchardstown. We know that 2 Gardaí were shot, and the person involved has been arrested and already appeared before court. But yeah, there was a lot of talk about it, because media blackouts were handy for newspapers and Gardaí 15, 20 years ago. But we know now, with the prevalence of social media, Snapchat, Instagram stories, it's hard to black out anything.
Mm.
And that's what happened, and increasingly happens anytime there's a media blackout. Like, all the newspapers and the media will all agree not to say anything. But we're kind of fighting against the tide here, because videos and pictures are being sent around WhatsApp, Snapchat, Instagram anyway.
Yeah.
So there has been a lot of talk about it during the week, even in government, about what we're going to do about social media.
Mm.
But there always is when stuff like this happens, and then the conversation kind of dies off again.
Yeah, yeah. Be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, talk to me about Dominic Cummings. a lot of explosive revelations in the UK during the week.
Yeah, it was like, if they had have written an episode of The Thick of It around this, it would have been too on the nose. I don't think people would have believed it.
Mm.
But Dominic Cummings, the Svengali-like figure who has been advising Boris Johnson and then very publicly fell out with Boris Johnson, came before a Parliament committee, and he brought the receipts. So he basically, it's like when you fall out with your friend and your friend tells everyone all your secrets, this is what happened to Boris Johnson. So Dominic Cummings appeared before Parliament and said that tens of thousands of people died of COVID in England who didn't have to die. He said that the government had fallen disastrously short of standards. He said that He made some crazy claims. He said that Boris Johnson was not fit for office. He said that he missed important COVID meetings to write a book about Shakespeare to pay for his divorce.
Oh my God.
I know. He said that Boris Johnson was obsessed, a thousand times too obsessed with the newspapers. He said most of his feeling about COVID, he was taking a lot of it from, you know, the London newspapers. He was just said fundamentally not fit for the job. He said that the health secretary, Matt Hancock, should have been sacked around 15 times, including for lying. Said that he wasn't fit for office. He also described a situation where they had been asked to the UK had been asked to get involved with the bombing of Iraq during the pandemic, and in the middle of it, Boris Johnson's girlfriend Carrie Simmons was having a meltdown because a London newspaper had written a story about her dog.
What?
Yeah, so a London newspaper had written some like snarky story about Carrie Simmons' dog, saying it was something like Down in Dog Street is set to be reshuffled because people didn't like the dog in being in Downing Street. And apparently she was going, the way Dominic Cummins described it, said that she was going absolutely crackers while half of Downing Street was trying to decide whether they were going to bomb Iraq and the other half of Downing Street was trying to decide whether to go into lockdown.
Oh my
and Gary Simmons was having a meltdown over a dog. Now, this is just what Dominic Cummins is saying. There's a lot of reasons for Dominic Cummins to lie. He doesn't like Boris Johnson anymore. He's been sacked. He's made it very clear he doesn't like Gary Simmons anyway. So a lot of people, there was a lot of polling done in England about whether people believed him, and it came, some of the ones I saw, it was around 50-50. But the other thing is, no one believes Boris Johnson either.
Yeah.
But nobody, it was great.
Nobody believes any of them.
Yeah, it was like 7 hours he sat for, and it was just all the weird and wonderful. I could only watch parts of it because like I have a life, but it was quite something. I think it'll go down in history as like one of the most explosive committee appearances of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. It's wild to have that access and to have someone speaking like that. But I mean, I suppose that the real, like, if he's telling the truth, the devastating fact that tens of thousands of people have died needlessly, like, that's,
yeah, and like the families, the families of those people, in the light of what Dominic Cummins has said, have called for an expedited inquiry. They want to know exactly what happened, and so yeah, they should. You
absolutely
know, these people are elected to look after us, and yeah, it's an unprecedented pandemic, but you also elect people because you think that they would be good in a crisis.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, he and Dominic Cummins also said that Boris Johnson is going to try and put off the inquiry for as long as possible until after the by-elections, and then he's going to try and blame most of it on Matt Hancock.
Oh, God.
It's like a soap.
It would exhaust you.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, before I let you go, tell me about what happened with a Ryanair flight landing in Belarus this week.
Yeah, this is a huge story, and it gets weirder and weirder as the time is going on, but there's a Ryanair flight travelling from Athens to Vilnius in Lithuania. On the flight was this journalist. He's a journalist. So Roman Protasevich, he has this blog which criticizes the government, the regime in Belarus. He says a lot of people believe that the elections there were not democratic. You know, Belarus and the leader is backed by Vladimir Putin in Russia. He has basically clamped down on press freedom. So this fella and his girlfriend moved to Lithuania, where they were on this blog and this kind of like opposition newspaper. He was on holidays with his girlfriend, and they were returning when a bomb threat was phoned in to the plane while they were over Belarus, and they had to emergency like be diverted. When they got there, apparently the journalist man said to the man sitting next to him, "There's a death warrant here for me." He said he already knew what was happening before he even got off the plane. And he got off the plane and he was subsequently arrested along with his girlfriend, and now he's being kept in prison. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. The Belarusian leader said that it was a bomb threat from Hamas. There is absolutely no evidence of this. Hamas basically said, "We have more things going on at the moment."
Yeah.
Angela Merkel basically said it was completely implausible. It was, I think, for people, the barefacedness of it. So he faked a bomb threat on a commercial Ryanair flight of people coming home from their holidays to arrest a journalist that you don't like and keep him in prison. It's all got incredibly dark. It was dark anyway, but they released a video of Roman Protasevich in prison. He clearly had bruising on his face. He was saying things like, "I am being treated well. You know, there's no need to worry." He was clearly under duress. And, you know, Ireland, Germany, every country in the EU basically has come out and said this is like aviation piracy.
Yeah.
Like, to come over, basically hijack this plane and say that, you know, it was a bomb when it wasn't and take a journalist off it. It's a massive, massive issue for press freedom. It's incredibly scary. So there's going to be further sanctions now on Belarus. You know, visas have been cancelled for people who were coming over to work in the UK. It's further freezing of their assets and stuff like this. But, you know, the Belarusian regime are basically holding firm, saying, no, 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 this person was wanted for crimes in Belarus. And his girlfriend, who's very young, she's a student, she's also been arrested.
Yeah, she's only 23.
Yeah, she's really young. And so he is now facing charges of organising mass unrest. And because of the way he covered the presidential election last year, and he could be jailed for 15 years. And he also tweeted a KGB list of terrorism suspects last year and said that he had been placed on it alongside Islamic State members. So, yeah, it's incredibly scary. There's going to be a lot of sanctions. So I think what the hope is they can put so much financial pressure on Belarus that they'll eventually have to let this person go.
Yeah,
but it's pretty terrifying. Again, I know I said this about Dominic Cummins, but it's like someone out of a film.
Yeah,
like
it really
is. It's so barefaced.
It really is. Well, Aoife Grace Moore, sorry, Aoife Moore. It's hard. It's your Twitter handle. It's where I see you the most. Aoife Moore, a political correspondent from the Irish Examiner, the Beyonce of Derry. Thank you so much. I hope you have a lovely Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Louise.
Thanks, Aoife. Louise McSherry on 2FM.